ordained. You're going to Ephib?
Yes.
What makes you think that? Because I told him so,
said the voice of Vorbis behind the man,
and here he is, most obedient to my wishes.
Brother had a good view of the man's face. The change in his expression was like watching a grease slick cross a pond. Then the stableman turned as though his feet were nailed to a turntable.
My lord Vorbis,
he oiled.
And now he will require a steed,
said Vorbis. The stableman's face was yellow with dread.
My pleasure, the very best stable. My friend brother is a humble man before Om,
said Vorbis.
He will ask for no more than a mule, I have no doubt, brother.
I do not know how to ride, my lord, said brother.
Any man can get on a mule, said Vorbis, often many times in a short distance. And now it would appear we are all here?
He raised an eyebrow at the sergeant of the guard, who saluted.
We are awaiting General Froyet, lord, he said.
Ah, Sergeant Simony, isn't it?
Vorbis had a terrible memory for names. He knew every one. The sergeant paled a little and then saluted crisply.
Yes, sir.
We will proceed without General Fryett,
said Vorbis. The B of the word but framed itself on the sergeant's lips and faded there.
General Fryett has other business, said Vorbis. Most pressing and urgent business, which only he can attend to.
Fryett opened his eyes in greyness. He could see the room around him, but only faintly as a series of edges in the air. The sword. He'd dropped the sword, but maybe he could find it again. He stepped forward, feeling a tenuous resistance around his ankles, and looked down. There was the sword, but his fingers passed through it. It was like being drunk, but he knew he wasn't drunk. He wasn't even sober. He was suddenly clear in his mind. He turned and looked at the thing that had briefly impeded his progress.
Oh,
he said.
Good morning.
Oh.
There is a little confusion at first. It is only to be expected.
To his horror, Fryett saw the tall black figure stride away through the grey wall.
Wait!
A skull draped in a black hood poked out of the wall.
Yes?
You're Death, aren't you?
Indeed.
Fryett gathered what remained of his dignity.
I know you, he said. I have faced you many times.
Death gave him a long stare.
No, you haven't.
I assure you, you have faced men.
If you had faced me, I assure you, you would have known.
But what happens to me now?
Death shrugged. Don't you know? He said, and disappeared.
Wait!
Fryett ran at the wall and found to his surprise that it offered no barrier. Now he was out in the empty corridor. Death had vanished. And then he realized that it wasn't the corridor he remembered, with its shadows and the grittiness of sand underfoot. The corridor didn't have a glow at the end that pulled at him like a magnet pulls at an iron filing. You couldn't put off the inevitable, because sooner or later you reached the place when the inevitable just went and waited. And this was it. Fryett stepped through the glow into a desert. The sky was dark and pocked with large stars, but the black sand that stretched away to the distance was nevertheless brightly lit. A desert. After death, a desert. The desert. No hells yet. Perhaps there was hope. He remembered a song from his childhood. Unusually, it wasn't about smiting. No one was trampled underfoot. It wasn't about Om, dreadful in his rage. It was a simple little homemade song, terrifying in its simple forlorn repetition. You have to walk a lonesome desert.
Where is this place?
He said hoarsely.
This is no place, said Death.
You have to walk it all alone.
What is at the end of the desert?
Judgment.
There is no one to walk it for you.
Fryett stared at the endless, featureless expanse.
I have to walk it by myself, he whispered.